Parshas Korach, everybody, we're dealing with the pasuk that deals right in the middle. Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. It says, "Vayamod ben Amesim ben Achayim." Aaron saw there was a plague going on, ran in between where the plague was going on, and he stood in between those who were alive and those who were dead. Batayatzar Magifa. The plague ended. The plague stopped as soon as Aaron got to that spot. Vayu Amesim Magifa our boss or Ella the Shvameos. There were 14,700 people that died during this plague. Milvad amesim al dvar Korach, aside from those who died by the word of Korach itself. So we got 14,700 aside from the people who died by the hand of Korach. These are strange psukim. But really, this deals with something that happened after Korach. What happened after Korach is that the people went up to Moshe and said, are we all going to die? What's happening here? You just saw Korach pass away with the 250 men while bringing that Ketores outside of the Mishkan itself. We saw dust and Aviram, the ground opening up to swallow them up. Everyone's dying, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's on your head. You're the one who's causing all this. To which Moshe Rabbeinu said, come on. It has to stop. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately sent out a plague. 14,700 people died, aside from the people that had died before. So the first question that we're going to ask is, what does it mean that Aaron stood between the live people and the dead people? Is there a line of people? And that, I just the way you picture it, the Malach Mavis is going around killing person after person after person, and there was a line, and you could see it happening, and Aaron ran to that line to stay away from them. Wouldn't the people scatter just to get away? It seems strange, doesn't it, that he was between the live and the dead people. Aside from that, it seems that over here it says, Vateyatzar Magefad, the plague ended. In the next pasuk, pasuk Yud Tesvav, which I don't have over here, it says again, Aaron went back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayoshev Aaron Moshe, Aaron returned to Moshe, Vateyatzar Magefad. And then the Magefa Netzora, I think is the exact wording of the pasuk. The Magefa stopped. But it already stopped. You have the end of the plague in Pasuk Yud Gimel. How is there another plague that ended in Pasuk Tesvav? So the Sforno explains, the Poshet explanation of the Pasuk, is that he stood among the dead, Bein HaChayim or Bein HaMeisim, among the dead people, before, where I guess unlike before, where he and Moshe Rabbeinu were told to stay away from the people who were dying, get away from Dathan Abiram, get away from Korach and the 250 men. They were told to get away. Here, he ran to the people who were dying. He ran among them, right, and attempted to protect those who had not yet succumbed to their sickness. That although he wasn't a doctor, he did everything he could in order to help them and to get around there. There was no line. According to Sforno, he just stood among them. And that's what it means, Bein HaChayim or Bein HaMeisim, between those people who are alive and dead, he ran among them, got in between them, and helped them out where they were. The Rashbam explains how he stopped the plague from spreading. Aaron's presence and the burning of the Ketores caused the plague to stop from anything happening. The Malach HaMavis couldn't go any further. The idea is, once he burned that incense, says the Rashbam, the Malach couldn't move past that line. So it literally was, says the Rashbam, almost like a line of the Malach HaMavis, where the Malach HaMavis couldn't go past. It's as if he can't get past the Ketores itself. Call it like a line in the sand, in which we say the Malach HaMavis cannot go any further, and that's that. But the Targum Yonason says, it wasn't just a virtual line, it was a real line between the dead and the live people over here. Aaron set up hands as a line, almost like, you know, when there's a flood, you set up those sandbags, like right in front to stop this flood from spreading. He set up a line of Ketores pans, one after the other, and the Malach couldn't go past those pans. And everyone who was on one side of the pans was, they died. On the other side of the pans, they lived. And Aaron set up an actual line in which the Malach HaMavis could not cross, says Targum Yonason, couldn't get across from one to the other. That's when Aaron davened to Hashem and stopped the plague and began to heal those who were infected but had not died yet. But there was literally a line in the sand. It's close to the Sforno and the Rashbam, but the Sforno and the Rashbam were saying, no, there were just people around. He was in between them. This is literally putting a line to make sure they weren't there. The Gur Aryeh says there was a line, but it's not the line of Aaron. It's the line of the Malach HaMavis. When it says, Vayamod Bein HaChayim Ubein HaMeisim, he stood between the live people and the dead people, that was the Malach HaMavis that was standing between them when the plague stopped. The Malach HaMavis was in between those who were already dead and between those who were still alive that he wanted to kill. And Aaron found him there. That's what it means over here. That Vayamod, it's not Aaron. It's the Malach HaMavis himself. The Malbim says similarly, such a weird line. They died further away from the Ohel Moed. Aaron and Moshe are by the Ol Moed. They're by the actual Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The people started dying all the way on the other side of the camp. They started dying, and the death started moving further toward the Ol Moed. So Aaron had to run toward those people where they were in order to stop it, which also sounds like there was a line. It literally was going one after the other. The people that were there were getting sicker and sicker as they were going through. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says it can't be. If the pasuk would say Bein HaMesim VeHaChayim, between the dead and the alive, then it would literally mean he's in the middle, Aaron's in the middle, and there are Mesim and there are Chayim on both sides. But that's not what it says. What does it say? It says Bein HaChayim uBein HaMesim. Bein HaMesim uBein HaChayim. That means Aaron was standing in between those who were dead and in between those who were alive. It's not that he was in between those who were dead and those who were alive. He was among the people that were dead and among the people that were alive. And all of them were there together, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya. That's what it means. There was no real line. He was in between everybody. He was standing with everybody. Some people were alive around him. Some people were dead. The plague was spreading. And Aaron went ahead and brought the Ketores while he was right over there. Or Chaim HaKadosh says he actually took out some of the people, separated them, and allowed them to get better. That was how he healed them. He was able to get around, sort of like magic, that somehow when he separated them from those who were still alive, he allowed them to live. There's something. He has no explanation for that whatsoever. I have an idea. I don't think I want to go into it right now. Rashi says he grabbed the Malach HaMavis himself. Now, we have no idea what that means. Obviously, you can't grab a Malach HaMavis. You can't grab any Malach. There's no way to grab a Malach. But Rashi says that the Medrash tells us that when Aaron was doing this, he grabbed the Malach HaMavis, took a hold of him, and said, stop what you're doing, stop the plague, right? Stop what you're doing. The Malach begged Aaron, let me do Hashem's will. I have one job in this world, and the job is for me to kill these people. I've got to finish this plague. Let me do what I set out to do. Yeah.
What did they do to deserve to be killed?
The people?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We're going to get to that. But they did part of what they did with Korach. We'll talk about that, though, because it was after Korach had already been in. But we'll get to that. But either way, the Malach said, let me do what I'm supposed to do. So Aaron responded, Moshe told me to stop the plague. Moshe told me to stop it. So the Malach HaMavis looked at him and said, listen, you're doing what Moshe told you to do. I'm doing what Hashem told me to do. So I trump you. And if I'm listening to Hashem, you're only listening to Moshe, right? I should still continue what I'm doing. Moshe can't trump Hashem. That's what he told, that what the Malach HaMavis said. So Aaron said, Moshe always does everything by the word of God. When Moshe speaks, it's like Hashem is speaking. And if that's true, then it's like Hashem said, stop. So let's go to Moshe and Hashem, who are both by the Ol Moed. We'll see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually has to say. Let's go find out exactly what they say right over here. And that's what it means in Pasuk Tetzav, by Yashav Aaron El Moshe. Aaron brought the Malach back to Moshe to find out what happened. And that's why it says the plague stopped twice. This is how Rashi understands it. At first, Vateyatzar Magifa, the plague stopped temporarily. The Malach stopped, but said, but I want to see. After he brought him to Moshe, Rabbeinu Moshe and Hashem told the Malach, stop, that's Magefa Natzara. The plague fully stopped. There was a temporary stop, and then there was a full stop, and that's the reason why it's repeated, which is an unbelievable pshat. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the Netziv say the Malach not being convinced was the first line, the first problem with what happened right here. It was waiting for what we call for the cloud of the Ketores to dispense. Meaning the Ketores was what stopped him from doing it. So the Malach HaMavis stopped for a little bit, temporarily stopped, and said, all right, I'm not going to go any further. And then when it went to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu told him, then it was no longer stopping for the Ketores, fully stopped. That's similar to what we said, but a little bit different. Some say that Aaron said the words himself on Magefa Netzar, and that's why it's repeated. But the Chassam Sofer has such a great shot. Just think of the chemical makeup. And I know this sounds strange, but look at this. Water has all the necessary ingredients to put out a fire. But what happened during Makas Barad? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted hail, what ended up happening with that hail? The fire and the water made peace with one another, so that they came together and punished the Egyptians together. The fire and water together came to destroy the Egyptians. Everybody knows that, right? We all have that down? That's a famous one. When that happens, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows nature to supersede its natural course and to become something miraculous, what happens is, it's simple. You have the fire going up to the water, and the fire and the water at first still do their job. the fire will sizzle out a little bit, the water will try to take hold, but the fire is also stronger, and the fire tries to supersede anything that happens to the water. You have one versus the other, and one versus the other, and they're fighting each other. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word remains, and the fire and the water come together in a miraculous fashion so that everything works out well. The Chasam Sofer says, this is what happened right over here. Normally, Ketores, and we don't know how, but burning incense, if you burn incense on the ground, normally it stops a plague. There's no issue with plagues when you have Ketores. You have a random plague that's going out there, you have the Ketores that works, normally what happens is that the Ketores stops the plague. But there was a tzivui here for this plague to not be stopped no matter what. Why? Because the people sinned so badly, so badly. There was a miraculous plague that came out. The Magepha that happened for Klal Yisrael was so bad, there was no way to stop it. The regular Ketores wouldn't normally work in this case. It was such a bad plague. Yes, normally Ketores breaks plagues, but not every plague. Other plagues might be different. This plague should not have stopped with the Ketores. The Ketores really shouldn't have done anything whatsoever. But it'll sizzle a little bit. What do we say happened with the Barad? The fire and the water, before they became acclimated with one another, they started sizzling. Here's what happened, says the Chasam Sofer. Aaron never meant the Ketores to stop the plague. It was never supposed to be that way. It sounds that way because he brought the Ketores because he wanted to stop the plague. That's what it sounds like. But that was never the point. All he wanted to do is give Moshe Rabbeinu and himself time to daven more. And if they daven more, what will they do? Through their tefillos, they'll stop the plague. They didn't want the Ketores to stop the plague. They wanted the tefillos to stop the plague. So this is what he did. He ran to the middle of the Bnei Yisrael. He brought the Ketores immediately. He brought the Ketores up, not to stop the plague, to make it sizzle, to make it stop for a second, to make the plague and this Ketores fight each other until it would make peace with each other like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the plague would continue. But meanwhile, what did Aaron and Moshe do? Aaron didn't just stand there watching the Ketores. He's like, look, smoke, guys. It smells good. And there's spices going on. That's not what he did. He immediately put down the Ketores and then went to plan B, which was daven. Daven. And he and Moshe just needed a little bit of time. The Magepha paused it, made it stop for a second, and then his tefillos stopped it completely. So when it says in the pasuk, in the first pasuk, in pasuk Yud Gimel, v'amagefa netzar, the wording is the teyatzar magefa, it stopped it naturally because that's what Ketores does. But nothing really was going to happen until Aaron and Moshe, v'yashav Aaron al Moshe, the word v'yashav, what word does that remind you of? Obviously, shav is in return to Moshe, right? But what does shav remind you of? Tshuva. He did tshuva with Moshe, and together with that, the full plague stopped. That was the idea of what he really wanted to do. That's how the Chasam Sofer says it. The Malbim has a pshat that's just like this, a very similar pshat, but not exactly the Sforno as well. The Griz asks why Aaron had to mention the Malach that both Hashem and Moshe were standing by the Ol Moed. Such a brisker question. So think of this question. In the Medrash, Aaron turns to the Malach above us and says, listen, Moshe and Hashem are standing by the Ol Moed. Let's ask them what to do. Hold on. If Hashem was by the Ol Moed, why do you have to mention Moshe? That's the Griz's Kasha. Isn't that a great question on the Medrash? You know, I understand. Hashem is there. So Malach HaMavis, come with me and let's ask Hashem. Why do you have to mention Moshe? Yeah.
When is Hashem in one particular location?
But there's the Shechina. You can see the Shechina's resting upon the Ol Moed. So there's a place where you can go and ask him. But that's a good question as well. Why would you say that the Shechina's only there? Maybe it's everywhere, right? Why would that be? But at least you have this question of why mention Moshe at all? Yeah. It says, what do you mean, Aaron? Because Aaron can't?
I'm saying, like, Aaron.
But the Malach could. Can't the Malach talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
I'll talk to Moshe, and he'll talk.
So he doesn't have to mention the Moshe to the Malach. He just has to say, but Hashem is by the Ol Moed, come with me. That's what he had to do. The Griz answer is such a brilliant answer. He says, it must be that a Malach has no ability to talk to Hashem unless Hashem talks to it. And it's brilliant, isn't it? Meaning, I have no ability to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu something because I'm not in that level. But Moshe Rabbeinu was. And Moshe Rabbeinu could ask Hashem anything at any time. right? Mi bal dvarim, yagid aleihem. And he said, if you have an issue, you can come to me and I'll speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I said the wrong pasuk. But you can come directly to me and I'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was able to do that. Va'eshma'a aleichem is the wording, and I'll tell it over to you. He could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. But a malach can't. A malach can't ask Hashem a question. A person, and only one person, Moshe Rabbeinu, can. No one else can. So therefore, Aaron said, come back to the Ol Moed, because Hashem and Moshe are by the Ol Moed. And you can't ask Hashem directly, but Moshe is there for you to ask him, so that he can tell you what Hashem is really saying. And Mati, that really answers your question as well. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, but the Malach can't ask Hashem anything everywhere. He can only ask it through a Moshe. So they went to the Ol Moed. Yeah, Josh. Tainas, but only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts the conversation. I don't know if every Medrash will fit in with this, but this is the Grizz's answer. And then he brings the Shiloh from the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that Moshe was standing and ready like Malachi HaShoreis to always deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds like Malachi HaShoreis always deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Grizz. That's not pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam's not saying that Malachim are always talking to Hashem. Malachim are always ready to talk to Hashem. But they don't actually talk to Hashem because they can't. They can't ask questions. They can just receive a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu was always ready, like a malach, to not only receive a nevuah, but even ask for something as well. And that's the difference, says the Grizz. It's a brilliant answer, a really brilliant answer, and something that bothered me for a long time. Nowadays, does Ketores work to ruin to destroy a plague? And if it does, how do we do it? How are we supposed to make that happen? Says the Tzror Amor, based on the Zohar and Chilak Aleph Perak page Kufam Abayz, and I'm not 40 yet, it's going to be soon, but I didn't look it up, says that even though nowadays we don't have the Ketores, there's no way for us to make a Ketores, saying Parshas HaKetores is the same thing as bringing the Ketores and stopping a plague. Can you imagine that? Just saying the Parsha Ketores itself is good enough, and that with proper Kavanah, you'll be able to stop anything there. And that was the gift that Moshe got by the Malchavas, we'll talk about in a second. But that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. You know what's even more awesome? Says the Rabbi Ephraim. Can you imagine the Schus of Aaron? Let's look at this for a second. There's a lot, sort of, there's a line of people dying, right? There's a bunch of people that are alive. Says the Rabbi Ephraim, Aaron must have been the greatest tzaddik of all time. It's a Gemara in Bava Kama. Anybody who's done that sixth parak of Bava Kama knows it. It's on Daf Samach. That whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy, right, for something bad that happens, he kills both Rishayim and Tzadikim. Eino Mavchin. He doesn't differentiate between Rishayim and Tzadikim. Tzadikim can die along with Rishayim. If there's a plague that has to happen, anyone can die. But Aaron wasn't worried about that. Aaron ran right out. And the pshat is, says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, because although tzaddikim die, when rishayim are dying, when there's a magepa, when there's a plague, tzaddikim gemurim don't die. A tzaddik gummer will never die in a plague. And Aaron was considered like a tzaddik gummer, and therefore it's completely different. Not only that, he was able to verbally spar with the Malach HaMavis himself as if there was a conversation between them, as if there's something there. Now, Rashi mentions there's two reasons why Ketores stops a plague. We mentioned it, right, that Ketores stops a plague, but there are two reasons why. The first one is that the secret was given to Moshe Rabbeinu when he went up to Shemayim and Har Sinai in the Gemara Shabbos Pei Tesemet Aleph. It's the Shavuos Gemaras in Shabbos Pei Tesemet Aleph. Everybody knows he went up to Shemayim, the Malachim argued with him. At the end of the day, he convinced them that Bnei Yisrael should get the Torah, right? He said, what do you guys have? Do you have any other gods that you can't worship? Do you have Shabbos? Do you have work that you can do? Do you have parents? So the Malachim did not keep the Torah, came down, and each Malach gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift. Says the Gemara, the Malach HaMavis gave the gift to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, when there's a plague, bring Ketores. If there's ever a plague in Klai Yisrael, bring Ketores, and that's going to stop it. That's how he ends up putting it, and that's the idea behind it. Says Rashi, the Malach HaMavis told him, this is what you should do in order to stop a plague. So the Panach Raza says, if that's true, then why didn't this plague stop immediately? Now we gave some answers, ideas before that the Ketores doesn't stop every plague, but the Panach Raza says, so why didn't it stop immediately? This is what the Malach HaMavis told him. If there's a plague, do this. And he did it. It should have stopped immediately. So he answers that Ketores can only prevent a plague that hasn't started yet. But it can't prevent a plague that already started. Now that's a weird answer. The Raz of the Meir immediately brings out stira after stira after stira. Even the Gemara doesn't seem that way. Rashi says straight out in that Gemara and Shabbos, when there's a plague, bring the Ketores and the plague will stop. It doesn't sound like it's before the plague, it sounds after. But that's the Panach Raz's answer. He's a Rishon. He has the right to be able to argue on Rashi. But nonetheless, that's his pshat. The Be'er Basara says, based on the wording, the actual Medrash Tanchuma, the plague will only stop if the Ketores is brought in front of the Malach. Now, obviously, do we have any idea what a Malach looks like or how to see a Malach? No. Somehow you have to bring it in front of the Malach sees it, and then it stops. Since normally you can't see Malachim, it's impossible, which is why normally we can't do this. Aaron was able to do so, and therefore he did it, and that's that. Ayelus HaShachar points out, Rav Aryeh Lin Steinman says, I think this should point out the most obvious thing in the world. Everybody has a skula for something, right? Does anybody make that Schlissel challah, right? That little challah is shaped like a key, right? Stuff like that. It's a great skula, right? Skula for what?
Everything.
Right, yeah, right. It's awesome. For everything. Only good things. There's nothing bad that can ever happen to you for the rest of your life. You know, if you crack yachatz, right? If you have in mind when cracking the yachatz on the Seder, if you have in mind to stop your headaches, you won't have any headaches. Won't have any headaches all year. So I did it. I tried to have real kavana. So if you ask me if I ever got a headache, the answer is no. But I don't know. I mean, the fact is I did have some headaches, but I don't know what it means. We have no idea. These skulas are all out there. You could probably think of 1,000 skulas that are out there. Said Rav Aryeh Lin Steinman, skulas are awesome. They're awesome. If you do something else with it. The plague stops with the Ketores. But because you did tshuva. See, Ketores is awesome because it led people to do tshuva. But it's not that the Ketores fixes it on its own. It's not like all you have to do is burn some incense and everything will be okay. That doesn't work. That's not how things work. It's that the Ketores will cause the people to do tshuva and then everything will be okay. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how the Ayelus HaShachar looks at it. But there's a Chassam Sofer in Toras Moshe that says one of the greatest things you'll ever hear. Now, I'm expanding it a little bit, but I really wanted to concentrate on this for this shir itself. We know that all korbanos have to be brought inside the curtains of the Mishkan or inside the area of the Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? We all know that. The only korban, sort of, that's brought outside the Beis HaMikdash is, we all know this, Pardum is burned. You're right. It's burned outside of the Beis HaMikdash itself. But an actual korban, so to speak, that's brought outside is the Seir L'Azazel. The goat that's brought to Azazel. And that's not really a korban. The Ramban explains it, but that's not really a korban. But everything has to be brought inside. What happens if you bring something outside of the Beis HaMikdash? What happens? Chayiv Karis, right? We all know that. That's how the Toras Moshe says. So, what happened with this Ketores? Where did Aaron bring the Ketores? Where did he bring the Ketores? We've been talking, right? He went between the people that were dying. So, meaning, where did he bring the Ketores? He burned it outside of the Mishkan. Was that allowed? Was he allowed to do that? I mean, we're saying Ketores stops the Magefa. We even said before, there was an opinion that says you have to do it in front of the Malach. You allowed to bring the Ketores outside of the Mishkan? Isn't that Chayv Karis?
He was allowed to the Torah.
I'm sorry?
He was allowed to the Torah.
That was a special dispensation, right? But you got part of the answer right there. The Chassam Sofer goes exactly on that. What about Korah? The Mali Aroim, by the way, says, the Mali Aroim, who's a safer, you see it in the back of most of your Gemaras. In the back of your Gemaras, you'll see the Mali Aron there. He says that's exactly why the Malach did not stop by the Magefa. Normally, Ketores destroys Magefa, but only if the Ketores is brought properly. What happened over here? Was the Ketores brought properly? No, it was brought outside the Mishkan. That's why he didn't fully stop. He didn't want to fully stop because he said, Aaron said, I brought the Ketores, said the Malach of us, in the wrong place. That's not only not going to help, it's going to hurt. Because now you're Chayiv Karis. So you can't do that. And that's exactly why the Magefa will stop with the Ketores when it's brought properly. You didn't bring it properly. Give me an example of Ketores that's not brought properly and it killed. Nadav and Avihu. We have that example. We have the perfect example over here. So it should have been gone. Reb Moshe Feinstein says the exact same thing in Darash Moshe that it says over here in the Mali Roim. Says the exact same thing. So what happened? Then why did the Malach stop at all? How could Aaron grab the Malach and bring him in? They brought the wrong thing. They did something wrong. How is that okay? The truth is, we have to do what Jordy just did. We do have an example of the Ketores being brought outside of the base of Mikdosh, outside of the Mishkan itself. The 250 men of Korach, what did the 250 men of Korach do? They all brought the Ketores. They all brought the Ketores outside of the Mishkan. And the truth is, here's where we all get it wrong. Why did those 250 men die? Why did those people die? What did they do wrong? So one would say, because they argued with Moshe Rabbeinu. And they argued and they went through. If you argue with Moshe Rabbeinu, you deserve tsaras on your forehead. An argument? You're not doing anything about it? You go up and you argue with somebody? You get tsaras for such a thing? That's a medrash in Parshas Tezria. That's what ends up happening. That's what happened to Uzziah in the future. Uzziah, the king of Klal Yisrael, wanted to be Azariah, also known as. He went to the Beis HaMikdash and he said, I want to be a Kohen. And he went to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, to the Mizbeach. He went up to the Mizbeach and he wanted to bring a korban on the Mizbeach. As he's about to bring it up, tsaras sprouts out in his forehead. That's what happened. Because he argued with Moshe and wanted to be a Kohen. So these 250 men argued with Moshe and wanted to be Kohanim. What should happen? Tsaras. Not death. That's not whether Chayiv death. That's not what happened. So why did they die? Because they brought the Ketores outside of the Mishkan. Well, what's the problem then? Well, let's say you're chayiv for that. But the problem is, Moshe Rabbeinu just told them to. So what do you mean? Why are they chayiv misa? They just did exactly where you're supposed to be. Here's the reason why. There's a halacha. Eliyahu HaNavi brought a korban on Har HaKarmel. In the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, there was a Beis HaMikdash. He lived in during times of Achav. Achav was one of the kings of Klal Yisrael. There was a Beis HaMikdash. Are you allowed to bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, even if you lived in Malchus Yisrael? Were you allowed to bring a korban? Of course not. What's the punishment? Chayiv kares, right? So how could Eliyahu HaNavi do it? There's a law. If a Navi wants to suspend a halacha for a short amount of time in order to do something, a Navi is allowed to do that. I'm sorry? It's sort of like Esau Shem Mefir Torah Secha, but it's really a halacha in the Torah, a law in the Torah, that if a Navi wants to say, if he tells you for one time, it can't be a Vodazara, but if he tells you one time we're not doing this mitzvah, we're stopping this, whatever it is, and he's already a proven Navi, which Eliyahu Navi was, you're allowed to do that for that one time. He can't ever say, we're never bringing korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash ever again. He's chayiv misa for that. He can't say, we're going to bring one korban to an avodah zarah. Chayiv misa for that. But if he says one time, we're going to bring a korban outside, then you're allowed to do that. But only if you're a proven Navi. Eliyahu HaNavi is a proven Navi, right? Guess who else is a proven Navi? Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Moshe Rabbeinu tells him to bring the Ketores outside the Mishkan, right, outside the Beis HaMikdash, is he allowed to do that? He is, right? Because he's a Navi. So why did the 250 people die? They brought it outside the Mishkan, but Moshe told them to. Was Moshe allowed to do that? Yeah, because Moshe's a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to do so. So what's going on here? How in the world was this allowed to be done? Now, the Shevet Levi, the 250 people who brought these korbanos, the people who wanted to be Shevet Levi, that's exactly what they wanted. That's exactly what they wanted. But there was one problem. What did they think was wrong with what Moshe Rabbeinu did before? Moshe Rabbeinu...
Nepotism.
Well, more than just nepotism, right? Mm-hmm. Who is serving in the Beis HaMikdash? Who are the only people allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? I don't mean just serving as a Kohen. All the whole Shevet. It was Shevet Levi. Who decided that Shevet Levi was going to serve? Seemingly Moshe Rabbeinu. Who served before that? The firstborn, the Bechors, right? Mm-hmm. Since when are you allowed to make a mitzvah to take away from the firstborns and give it entirely to Shevet Levi for all time? Are you allowed to do that? That's not a suspension of a halakha, right? What is that? That's changing the halakha for good. Is a Navi allowed to do that? No. So they argued with him and they said, that's not right. So they assumed that this Ketores was okay because it was only a little bit. Shevet Levi, they thought, was completely wrong. But then there was Dustin and Avira. You notice something strange in the Parsha? Isn't it really weird how Korach all of a sudden disappears? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, all right, guys, bring the Ketores tomorrow morning outside. And now I'm going to walk to Dustin and Aviram. Isn't that strange? Says the Chasam Sofer, that's not by accident. It's because Korach's tainas were all answered by the 250 men going out and bringing their Ketores. That, Korach said, okay, I get a chance. I'm going to get a chance to be a Kohen. That's exactly what he wanted. But Dustin and Aviram were done with that. Dustin and Aviram didn't want to be Kohanim. What did Dustin and Aviram want? They just wanted to argue. They just wanted to knock down Moshe Rabbeinu. They claimed that Moshe Rabbeinu had no authority to do anything. Moshe Rabbeinu had no ability to do anything whatsoever. You can't suspend halacha even temporarily because you're not even a Navi, they told Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you are a Navi, we're Nevi'im as well because we also saw Matan Torah. They claimed that Moshe Rabbeinu made up everything on his own, which obviously is apikorsis. They claimed that they were equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, which obviously is wrong. And they claimed that Moshe Rabbeinu had no right to tell them to bring the Ketores outside the Mishkan.
Wouldn't that support
their honor when everyone dies? So, hold on. So that would mean that the 250 men were not allowed to bring a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Mishkan. They couldn't bring the Ketores outside, right? So listen how the Chasam Sofer now puts it together. When Dustin and Aviram died, they died because they went too far, denied Moshe Rabbeinu's abilities, denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thought that everything was wrong. For that, they had to die. When they died, it was an Idan Rischa. You know what that means? Idan Rischa? A time of pure anger. You know what happens at a time of pure anger? HaKadosh Baruch Hu lashes out at anyone who even does a tiny little sin. Meaning if you go ahead and sin at a time of anger, bad things happen to you no matter what. I'm going to give an example. In Menachos, Daf Mem Aleph and Aleph, Rav Katina was walking in the street and a malach went up to him and said, Katina, Katina, you're wearing this cloak in the winter, you're wearing another shirt in the summer, what are you going to do about tzitzis? You're never wearing tzitzis. You don't have any four-cornered begadim. What are you going to do about tzitzis? Rav Katina said, An shisu aseh, you're going to punish me for not doing a mitzvah aseh? Like, if I want to wear tzitzis, I'll wear tzitzis. If I don't want to wear tzitzis, I don't have to. You're going to punish me for this? You know what the Malach answered him? In the Eden Rischa, at a time of anger, Anshisu, you will be punished. Meaning, at that moment when the 250 men brought their Ketores, what happened to Dustin and Aviram? Dustin and Aviram were being swallowed up by the ground. That was an Eden Rischa. So when the 250 men did something that wasn't wrong because Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do it, and Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to because he's a Navi, and a Navi who allows you to suspend halacha for even a second, you're allowed to listen to him. But they had argued with Moshe Rabbeinu as well. So when that Eden Rischa happened, and they also had something that they had done wrong, guess what happened at that moment? The moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought that meat as a din to the world and swallowed up Dustin and Aviram, at that moment the other 250 men were burned. That's why in the Pesukim themselves, it says that the men, Dustin and Aviram and his whole family and the family of Korach were swallowed up in the ground. And then it says, and the 250 men were burned by the Ketores. Because they only died, not because of their own sins. They didn't deserve to die from their sins. They died because Dustin and Aviram died. And they were somewhat negligible. And just like they were punished with death, they ended up getting death because it was Eden Rischa. It's crazy, this Chasam Sofer. At the end of the day, if somebody asked me, so what did the 250 men do wrong? Technically, they didn't do anything wrong to be Chayav Misa, according to the Chasam Sofer. Technically, they didn't. They listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a Navi suspending halacha, and they were allowed to do that. They believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, so that was okay. But because they argued on Moshe Rabbeinu before, they were still chayav for something like deep down, and because it was Eden Rischa, they died along with him. Isn't that crazy? Such an unbelievable pshat. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's why the Ketores was allowed to be brought out and could still be done. Now do you understand what happened with the 14,700 men? There's a plague going on. Because you know what Klal Yisrael said, Josh? That's exactly what happened. Klal Yisrael looked at it, saw the 250 men die, and they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu and said, you killed them! You weren't allowed to suspend halacha! Who gave you permission to bring a ketores outside of the Mishkan? Why did you allow that? You did it, Moshe. You're not a real Navi. You deserve to die here. That's what they thought. Because they looked at Dustin Aviram being swallowed up by the ground. They understood what Dustin Aviram did wrong. They got that. But they couldn't understand why the 250 men died. Why did they die? They didn't do anything wrong. They listened to you. Oh, I get it. They listened to you, and you were wrong. You weren't allowed to tell them that. So they're chayav misa because of you. Because you're not allowed to give a halacha. So what did Moshe do? He told Aaron, bring the Ketores out to the people. Suspend halacha. And if it works, if it stops the plague, then they'll see I am allowed to suspend halacha.
That doesn't make sense. Why would Dustin and Aviram die?
Dustin and Aviram, they thought, died because they argued too much. That's what they thought.
Their whole taina was he wasn't a Navi. If
So it's sort of like backwards logic, right? But he was a Navi. So Dust and Aviram were totally wrong because he was a Navi and they were arguing he wasn't. They died for it. The 250 men died because of Eden Rizka. B'nai Yisrael thought that they died because they listened to Moshe and Moshe's not a real Navi. So Moshe tells Aaron, you know what will stop the plague? By showing them that I'm a real Navi. By showing them a real Navi. So go out and do this. Make it happen. When they saw it, they looked and they said, oh, Moshe can tell you to suspend Halacha because they brought the Ketores outside. So why did those 250 men die? They must have died because of Eden Rizka. They must have died because it was a time of anger and they died at exactly, they realized, oh, it was at the exact same time and that's the reason why they died. It's the craziest idea. I don't have that much time, unfortunately, over here. I'm just going to tell you, for the 14,700 people that died, right? There were 14,700 people that died altogether. It said, Milvad, aside from those who died by the word of Korah, Milvad HaMesim HaZvar Korah, shouldn't it be obvious? There are so many awesome things here. The Netziv says, altogether, there were 250 men that died earlier. There were 14,950 men that died altogether. The Likutim in Sfas Emes Likutim says there were 14,700 tzaddikim that died aside from the people of Korach. Meaning, the plague really killed tens of thousands of people. Not just 14,700. It killed 40,000 people. Out of those 40,000, 14,700 were tzaddikim. Why did they die? Because what did we say before? When the Malach Mavis goes crazy, it doesn't differentiate between Tzadikim and Rishayim. There were, I don't know, 30,000 people that died because of Korach. 14,700 Tzadikim that died along with them. And that's why it says there were 14,700 Milvada Mesim Al-Dvar Korach, aside from all those who died in the plague by the word of Korach. That's how the Sfas Emes puts it. Meshech Chochma says it's because they argued on Yaakov Avinu, who lived to 147, that's 14,700. Oh, I can't even tell you, the Me'ashiloach has this crazy shot about 15,000 instead of 14,700. He says if you count, there were 14,700 people that died in the plague, 250 men that died from the burning, 50 people that were in Dustin and Aviram's family and Korach's family. 14,700 plus 250 plus 50 is what? 15,000. Whenever there's a huge plague, 15,000 people, he says, are the reason why that plague is happening. And he tries going into it. He says, to get to the or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes 15,000 deaths in Klal Yisrael. No idea what he's referring to. You can look at the Me'ashiloach and the Ishbitzer himself, but he says it takes 15,000. I also think it's really weird, because in this week's parsha, you have the biggest word in Gematria in the entire Torah. Does anybody know what that is? Biggest word in Gematria? No. Tistorer. Tistorer. Tough, sin, tough. Resh, resh. Tough sin, tough, resh, resh. It's a gematria of 1,500. So I think that's close enough to this 15,000. There's some shaykhs here, but I have no idea what the Me'ashiloach is referring to. The Maral Diskin gives a math problem. If you're really good at math, check out the Maral Diskin, how it's a 40th of Klal Yisrael. 603,550 divided by 40. Anybody want to guess? 15,088. 15,088 and 3/4, actually. But 3/4 of a person didn't have to die. So then he makes a cheshbin how it was 15,088. That's the Maral Diskin. Rabbi Yehuda Assad as well goes into that, and etc. And I'm just going to end with, why were these people chayv to die? What did they do wrong over here? What did they actually do? Meaning the people in the plague, not the 250 and everything else. Why did those people die? Doresh David says, although normally we don't really get how things happen, these people should have known. Dor Dea, the generation of knowledge, should have known what they did wrong. They really should have figured it out on their own. They should have known that when Korach was going up with tainas of, I don't know, this almana and this orphan, etc., they should have realized something was up with that. And they didn't. And because of that, they got punished for it. That's how the Darash David puts it. Rabbi Twersky, the Rebbe of the Shul, he ended up saying the exact, very, very similar. But when your arguments are emotional and full of late sunnis, and that's how the Gemara describes Korach's arguments, you can't win. They should have realized that. The arguments weren't real. The arguments were fakes. You don't get involved in stuff like that. There's so much more over here, guys, but of course, we weren't able to do all of it. We'll stop right here. If you want to check out the craziest thing in the world, see the Panim Yafos in this week's Parsha, who for some reason says it wasn't 14,700, it was 24,000 people that died. Everybody says it's a mistake. The Chassam Sofer says, if you only knew the Panim Yafos, you'd know it's not a mistake. I have no idea what he means by that. All right, can somebody turn it off?
How do you have any other conclusion?